This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from my humble abode in downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. And it is a semi-wintry, supposed to be spring Maryland after late afternoon. Still a bit nippy for my liking, but what the hell, we're just in the last week of March. But enough about the leather or the weather. We're still playing meaningful games or watching meaningful games from our favorite hockey team, the Washington Capitals, our Washington Capitals, who just played another doozy of a game today. So let's get to that. So I have granted the mermaid who is suffering from an advanced case of burnout a full 2 weeks pardon from her duties for her entirety of spring break. So joining us for those 2 weeks will be and is a familiar voice, familiar, although probably slightly diminished voice, as she will explain. That would be, of course, the wonderful Sherilyn Forster, the only C4. So you were at today's game and at least one other and plan on attending more. Is that correct?
Yes, I was at Friday's game and today's game, and I will be at Tuesday's game. So, yeah.
you got a lot to talk about, but maybe not a whole lot of voice to do it.
Yeah, and I had opportunity to go to Wednesday's game, but something came up and I couldn't go. So
understandable, and that was the bad game anyway. So
yeah,
dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, honestly, I didn't really watch much of that one after the first period or so. But we'll get into that later.
So for today's game against the Winnipeg Jets, before we get started, I like to grab myself a nice pregame snack. And so I was out and about and I grabbed... I saw a can. Well, I love Pringles chips, and I saw an unusual flavor I've never seen before: chili cheese fries. Yeah, that's what I thought at first, and then, well, okay. So you know, I don't know how much of a history buff you are, but you know the joke about you've heard of the Holy Roman Empire, right?
Neither holy nor Roman.
Or an empire. Well,
yeah.
These chili cheese fries flavored Pringles chips are indeed the Holy Roman Empire of potato chip snacks. They neither tasted like chili, nor cheese, nor fries.
Aha. Nor chips? Yeah.
They tasted like chips all right, but not in the way I was hoping. So
I'm eating a little Debbie Cosmic brownie and drinking a C4 energy drink. Strawberry guava C4 energy drink.
Appropriate enough. See.
Yeah. So let's see how I am at the end of this thing.
Yeah, it's as the Paul Simon song goes, it is late in the evening. We're getting late in the evening as we're recording this. So if we're slightly punchy, that would be why. So
I will tell you this, though. We were on Constitution Avenue, stuck in insane traffic, and I swear to God, Nick Dowd passed us.
Really?
Right. Yep. Yeah.
You sure it was him?
I'm pretty sure. 99. I am 99% sure it was him.
Did he wave his
down and he had his window down and he gives this really funny look. I'm like, dude, like, where do you expect this to go? But yeah, I'm 99.9% sure it was him.
Did he wave a hockey stick at you? Because he's prone to do that.
No, he didn't do that. He just gave us a really hard look. It's like, look, we can't go anywhere, dude.
Well, he's prone to do that too. But yeah, sometimes, Samurai Nick Doubt, as I like to call him.
But guilty. It was a Chevy pickup with Virginia tags. And I'm pretty sure I saw him get into that exact same car when I was at practice the one time.
Very interesting.
So I'm pretty sure it was him. I mean, I even pulled up the picture and said, Libby, that was him, right? And she's like, yeah, absolutely was him. So.
Now, context, I have the replay of today's game in the background. And we'll get to it, but I have no idea how the hell the Caps didn't lose this game. Because I'm looking at it. There's 35 seconds left in the second period on the version that I'm watching. And they're being outshot 21-10.
Yep.
How the hell did they not lose this game?
We got outshot 11-3 in the second period.
Yeah. Yeah. That second period was garbage. But we'll talk about
all
that.
All Winnipeg.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our defense was playing.
I would agree with that. We're gonna start from the beginning, which was Monday. I don't know if you caught this game, but this was the
part of it. I ended up falling asleep.
Okay. Well, this was the game that wound up the last Western road trip for the Caps. It's in Calgary. In the Saddle Dome against the Flames.
Oh, no, I did watch this one. I'm sorry.
It was a 5-2 win. It was something of a simulcast of sorts. A watch-along, more accurately, with Sports on the Hill because it was a Monday night. And yours truly was pressed into service to do a little bit of play-by-play. For the first period, because it was a 9:30 start. But that's not important. What is important is that the Caps won, and for the most part played a pretty good game on this one. So let us jump to the app and the NHL app and see if it's willing to cooperate with us. So you'll hit the hit the NHL Shield latest. Go to schedule if you've got the Caps locked in. Go to the game, tap on the game, March 18th, go to Game Center, there we are. Okay, so Caps 5-2 final, C over the CGY. All right, so let's go over the scoring summary. First period, Dylan Strome, his 23rd, Rasmus Sandin and Nick Jensen on the assists on that one. That was pretty good. I had the pleasure of calling that. Pretty good play. Jensen and Sandin, good cycle. And Sandin found Strome in the slot area, and he buried it. So good start to that game. No other scores in the first, second period. Ovechkin took over a couple of power play goals about 4 minutes apart, three minutes apart. 5:58 and 9:16, again, both on the power play. Pacioretty and Wilson on the assists on that one. And Carlson and Strome on the assist on the second one at 9:16, again, both on the power play. And then Mike Tyson's trainer, Kevin Rooney, scored for the Flames. I didn't even know he played for them.
Right.
Pachal and Coronato on, the assist that there. And then probably, Robbie Gross's favorite goal. I'm going to call up the replay on this one, but this one, Robbie, if you're listening and you don't know, is a huge college basketball fan.
Oh, Jesus!
I'm sure we didn't play Edmonton, so I didn't see Jesus.
Yeah.
Bad joke. Sorry.
No, I heard you.
Anyway, but Robbie is big college basketball fan. March Madness is one of his favorite sporting events. And the reason that's significant here is because if you caught Sports on the Hill that night, the way he described this goal. Okay, so I'm going to call up the replay, the video replay. Okay, so here's how it starts. It's a face-off in the Caps' end, and LaPierre breaks free, throws it to himself in the corner, and Pacioretty kind of digs, and Milano ends up with it at the point, does this backhand pitchfork motion with the puck. It bounces once and then lands on LaPierre's stick, and then he slams it home. LaPierre's maybe all of 3 feet in front of the goal at the time.
Yeah.
And it was a bounce pass. Basically, it was a bounce pass goal. So it was much like a bounce pass, a play like they do in college basketball a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was one of the I forget who I. It was either one of the neutral commentators or maybe even the Calgary ones, but they actually called it an alley-oop pass, which is another play they do a lot in college basketball.
That was a pretty goal.
It was a very pretty goal. Very, very much fun to watch. That did not end up being the game winner. Ovechkin's second goal did, but that was for me at least the goal of the week, and that's saying something because we had quite a few of them.
That McMichael breakaway.
Yeah.
Still, my favorite so far.
Absolutely.
Of recent weeks.
Okay, so moving on to the rest of the summary, Mackenzie Weegar makes it 4-2 Flames. Michael Backlund on the assists. And Wilson ices it at 17:31 of the third, his 17th. Malenstein and Nick Jensen on the assists for that one. So a quick rundown of the vitals for this game. 33 shots on goal, pretty good output. So-so night at the faceoff dot, 48%. Power play clicked on 2 of 3 chances. Penalty kill shut down all 3 of their chances. And other than that, not many penalty minutes handed out, not many hits, lots of block shots on both sides, almost 50 total, and fairly consistent among all 3 periods for the attack, 8, 15, and 10 for the shots on goal for the good guys in red.
Yeah, not terribly outshot any period. Well, the first period probably is the worst one, but the rest of them, we outshot them the second. Yeah, no, it was a good game, well played, evenly matched. I mean, those shots were all right up on the net. Well, I think Wilson's was actually an empty netter, wasn't it?
I think it was.
It might have been. I think it was.
This stupid app doesn't mention empty net goals. It
always the replay.
Even strength, power play, or shorthanded. They don't recognize empty net goals, because empty net goals, not to be pedantic, but empty net goals are significant because you have to list them as an empty net goal, because empty net goals do not count against an individual goaltender's average, obviously.
Right.
So you have to make that distinction. Why this app doesn't do that, I don't know.
Not consistently, because sometimes it'll do it, sometimes it won't.
Well, that's about 1 of 1,000 complaints I have about it. I could do a whole other podcast based on that, but
yeah, like I said, I really miss that game flow section to see how much time is spent in each zone.
Yeah. That was nice.
A lot of time spent in the wrong zone today. Just saying. Yeah.
A lot of visual learners out there who need something like that, but you know, developers beat developers.
They started putting the projected lineups back in there.
Yeah, that's nice. I mean, they fix one thing, they break about 50 others, so it is what it is.
There you go.
So moving on to the next game, I'd like to draw a line from it, but I think we threw it rather, but I think there's something to be learned from it as well. So we're going to spend a little time, going to gloss over some of the stuff, but we're going to see what we can glean and learn from this one. Of course, it was the first of the three home games this coverage week, four total. As C4 might have mentioned, there's one next Tuesday or this coming Tuesday that ends the four-game homestand against Detroit. Big, big game. We'll get to that in a little bit. So this is the one on Wednesday, as I said, against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And it was Pride Night. It was Beanie Night, or if you are north of the border, it's a toque. That was the promotional giveaway. And after...
If you bought the package, you had to buy the special pet, yeah.
Right. And yeah, I wasn't in the mood to buy anyone's package this night, but
no comment.
Yeah. Okay. So Cap started the game the worst way. 16 seconds. 16 seconds.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with Nicholas Obey-Kubel, and it's not like he was at fault on this goal completely. But I don't get why he was starting. I don't get why he was first on the ice.
yeah, I don't know.
I kind of question that. But again, not like it was his fault, because he actually did what he was supposed to do. But
Austin Matthews.
Yeah, he definitely did. Max Domi on the assist, and if anybody's surprised at Max Domi's assist total, don't be. Okay.
Mm-mm.
That's what the guy was known for all through his pre-professional career. All right. Passing. He's one hell of a passer. All right.
He's sort of, think of him as almost, but not quite, the Nick Backstrom of the Maple Leafs. That's what he does.
Well, I mean, that's one of his roles. I wouldn't put him in the same class as Backstrom.
No. But I mean, in terms of what his job is.
What he's supposed to do. Yeah. He's supposed to be the guy that finds everybody. Yeah, I get that.
Right. And he does it well.
Yeah. He does it very well.
Is my point.
Yeah. So
but nobody's in the same class as Backstrom.
No. So that was Austin Matthews' 56th goal this year. 56th. Yeah. And we played about, at that time that it was played, it was what, the Caps' 67th game, something like that. So, yeah, that kind of gives you an idea what season he's had. But, yeah, put a body on Austin Matthews. For all the love, for all that is good and Holtby, put a body on Matthews. They should have learned, but I don't know that they did.
Apparently nobody has.
Apparently not. Fortunately or unfortunately, that was all of the scoring for that period. Then came the second period, and this one was the world's worst teeter totter.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
Second period was definitely a little more even.
Well,
even though they outshot us 14-7, in terms of goal scoring and whatever, it seemed a little more evenly matched. But then,
yeah. Once again, it was a bad start for the Caps. Nylander got his 38th in within the Bizarro McNugget minute, 56 seconds in. Tavares and Nyes. So that made it 2-0. And Caps finally get on the board when they get on the power play. Ovechkin, his 22nd, continuing his goal scoring streak. Carlson and Wilson on the assist there. 9:57. Matthews, again, his 57th, responds almost exactly 3 minutes later. His second of the game, 57th of the year. Domi again on the assist. Liljegren on the secondary one, making it 3-1 Leafs. McMichael, his 15th, 35 seconds later. Love the response.
Yeah.
Sandin and Ivan Miroshnichenko on the assist on that one, pulling the Caps within one. And then 6 minutes later, they give up another one. Jake McCabe, his 7th. Domi again, his 3rd point of the night. 3rd point of the night. 30th assist. Yeah. Matthews also on the assist, 4-2 with 25 seconds. You never want to give up a goal in the last minute of the game. That's why if we do it, we get McNuggets.
Right.
So, anyway.
Haven't gotten nuggets in a while, though, but that's another story.
Yeah. Well, we have gotten pizza, and thanks
to
Ovechkin.
We get pizza tomorrow, too.
Got pizza tomorrow, definitely. Yeah, Ovechkin delivers again, both there and here. His 23rd, 6:42 into the third, and this gave me hope. I'm thinking, okay, all right, maybe we'll get back into this game. Strom on the assist, 6:42, and then everything fell apart. The whole thing fell apart. Like
C4 exploded.
About like a house made of really stale pretzels.
There you go.
I mean, yeah, I don't know what happened, but yeah.
And oddly enough, they only had 7 shots in the third period. I mean, that's how bad
yeah.
it was.
Well,
they scored
here's
3 goals on 7 shots. That tells you something.
Well, the Caps only had 4 goals, period,
and
for that
right.
period.
Or 4 shots, yeah. And one goal on 4 shots.
Yeah.
So that tells you where the defense was. Not.
Yeah. Not. Yeah. A whole lot of not. Bobby McMahon, Tyler Bertuzzi, and John Tavares. With the assist on that one, Domi got another assist amongst those goals. So he had a 4-point night. Told you he was good. And
good.
Yeah, Leafs run away. Well, yeah, this sequence.
Matthews
okay.
got another point. Two
yeah.
more points.
He got another assist on that one. But yeah, it was this sequence here. These two goals, those next two goals that put him up were scored 38 seconds apart.
Yeah.
And yeah, that did him in. And it was just, I mean, here's what happened. They got too far away from the game plan that they had on paper and executed to a T against both Vancouver and Seattle last week.
Right.
Now, I get neither one of those teams has the kind of firepower that the Leafs have, but still, had they stuck more to that, it would have been at least somewhat closer. It wouldn't have been, you know, an embarrassment like this was.
Yeah, this was not good.
No, not good. And if there was one bright spot, Caps got all of one power play and scored on it. But unfortunately, this would, pardon me, this would also be the game where Mr. Tom Wilson committed his infamous penalty, 4-minute minor late in the third. And it was late in the game when the game was lost.
Yeah, 12:15 was the time.
Yep, double minor.
And the only clip I've been able to find shows only the hit. It doesn't show anything leading up to it or anything after. Really. I mean, it just shows maybe half a second before the stick comes up and then maybe a few seconds after the stick goes after he, you know. So what I saw, I couldn't tell if it was intentional. I saw the stick come up. I saw him hit the guy in the face, but I didn't see what led up to it, you know?
Well, I...
So...
I try to give Tom a break, but I mean, I definitely saw intent. What I saw in the play was he was tangled up with Gregor. And mm-hmm. I don't know if Gregor was holding his stick. I don't think he was holding his stick, but they got tangled up. And I think Tom felt like his stick was being held or he was just frustrated and, you know, couldn't get free like he wanted to. So he basically reared back and he took a swing. And there's no question he took a swing, at least from what I saw. And,
right.
You know, sorry.
Okay,
that,
so was the swing. So yeah, okay. So there was intent to swing. The intent was probably not to hit him in the face.
Probably but... not. Probably not. But, I think that so, I yes, think the stick wrote might have rode up. I don't think he obviously didn't intend to do the damage that was done, but the fact remains he still intended to hit him, make contact with him with his stick, which you cannot do.
Right. Okay. Thank you. For some reason I missed that. I don't remember if I admit I turned the game off at some point. So I don't think I watched the third period at all. I caught maybe part of it. I think I saw Ovi's goal and then I was like, and then the next goal. And I was like, I think I'm done. I'm tired. I'm going to bed.
Yeah. The so game after that second goal. No, the game literally wasn't worth watching.
Yeah.
But I put myself through it anyway, because apparently I was a masochist in another life and
glutton for punishment.
That's taken shape again for some reason.
Well, thank you for taking one for the team, man. Thank you.
It just more evidence to the fact that they did not stick to the successful game plan of matching up and making sure that one, they took care of the puck, and two, they kept it out of the hands of those most dangerous.
Puck management is a consistent puck management has been an issue this year. Yeah. There are games that are phenomenal at it, and then there are games that they're sloppy as all hell. And when we win the games when they're sloppy as all hell, it's a freaking miracle. But that's been one of the major inconsistencies this year is the puck management, I think.
This one was the latter, or an example of the latter. On the first goal, especially, everybody was puck watching, and Austin Matthews basically had a free shot from 10 feet away. He's not going to miss that.
Not many people are going to miss those.
Him especially.
Austin, in particular, but yeah. Yeah, so, you give Austin Matthews that kind of space, he's going to make that shot almost every time.
I want to point something out. Mrs. Blue Liner came home from a night of working, and she happened to catch some of the game on the radio, some of the game on the app. And she made a comment about when will the coaching staff learn to use their timeout?
Good point.
And I can't totally disagree. Because had they called one right after this goal and say, hey, I'm already seeing you're not doing X, Y, Z, and it's leading to ABC. Are you picking up what I'm putting down here? Come on, do better. And I think maybe had there been a quick come to Jesus moment like that early on, you know, like I said, maybe a little less embarrassment.
Yeah.
A little less, you know, farting in church going on here.
There you go.
But
yeah, but it's been more like it may have stuck at 4-3, or we may have actually pulled it out of our ass and won it. So
maybe. But that's enough proctology talk for this game. I'm not going to spend too much more time on the Wilson suspension. I would have been fine with one or two games, but. The league just decided, okay, well, it doesn't matter that you kept your nose clean for the better part of 2.5 years. You know, guess what? We're going to
longer than hammer. That.
We're going to, I'm being conservative, but anyway, we're going to drop the hammer on you is what they decided. And after reviewing, said play that we discussed, they went and decided to suspend him for 6 games. So.
Yeah,
it is what it is. No point arguing it. They did what they did, and like I said, next man up.
I saw a few Free Willy signs today.
Yeah, I get that because I would have been okay with a shorter suspension, but
yeah, it is what it is. Get over it. Move on.
Gotta live with it. Okay. So this
one wasn't, at least it wasn't 14 games like it was in 2018.
Yeah. Yeah. Or yeah.
So that's all I'm going to say on that. That's it. I'm done.
Yeah. So moving on to the next
bigger and better things.
Yeah. Moving on to the next game. This one. Okay. So this one is our wild one. I don't know how much time.
Oh my God.
We should spend on this now. Okay. So this is one of the two games that you were at.
Yes.
And
I don't know.
The promotion for this one was Margaritaville night. And what they were giving away was a Hawaiian flower shirt.
Yes. I did. I did manage to get you one. They were handing them out at the door, and I said to the guy, "Hey, can I have a couple extra?" And he's like, "Okay." And he gave me a couple extra. So
I really, 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 really appreciate you and the guy at the door for being that. So thank you, guy at the door, for being so kind to Cheryl Ann and me. And I wish I had your name, Mr. Guy at the Door. But
thank you,
kind sir. But I think after the way this game went, I think we were all in need of at least maybe, I don't know, a dozen or so margaritas.
Oh, my God.
Holy
hell. I was
hell.
Surprised I had a voice left after this game. It's enough to yell today. Holy moly. It was bad.
Yeah, this was enough
for...
This was enough to make both defensive coaches maybe try, figure out, okay, maybe I need to update my resume here because I might be looking for a new job here.
Yeah. Hey. I got home and I was still so amped up. It was, and I mean, I got home at like 1 a.m. from this game.
How was the crowd? Because I heard some who were there were like, and even some of the players were like, wow, that's the loudest the crowd has been in a while.
It was. So loud. It was so loud. It's been louder. Yeah, it was like playoff loud. It was loud. It was so much fun. The energy. I got home and I was so amped. It took me like another 2 hours to settle down and go to sleep. And I had to be up early yesterday morning to go to Martinsburg or something.
Yikes.
I was like, and then I was supposed to go out last night for a friend's birthday. And I was like, sorry, guys, I got to bail. I just can't do this and still get up this morning to go to the day's game. So I was just like, yeah, no, I'm not going out tomorrow. I'm done.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was loud. Even when Carolina scored, I mean, there were enough Carolinas. It was funny because Aho got a hat trick as well, and about 3 or 4 hats flew out on the ice after he scored his third one. But, yeah, we all knew in the crowd that – I know I'm getting a little ahead of the thing, but we all in the crowd knew that it was Milano's goal. We all knew it was Milano's goal, the third one. But they gave it, I think, first to Carlson, then to Ovi. And then they finally like, no, actually, it was Milano's.
Yeah, I thought that one was Carlson's goal at first, from what I saw.
Yeah.
But yeah, they actually credited it to Milano. So there's only
it was
okay.
Milano's goal. Carlson never touched it.
Well, there's only one way to get through it, and that's through it. Let's go ahead and start at the beginning.
Oh, okay. 13 goals scored in a game, man. Let me tell you.
God, 13 goals in a game. Yikes. Well, here we are. Don't say we don't ever do anything for you. All 13 starting from the beginning. Here we go. And the nice little play. Of course, this was Cousy's first game back as a Washington or not a Washington Capital anymore.
Right. They
and,
did do a nice tribute for him, though. It was nice.
They did. I watched that. It was very nice.
And truthfully, I wish him well. I mean, I wish he wasn't in Carolina, but I wish him well.
Well, if you think about it, really Carolina was probably, it sucks that he's in the same division still, but Carolina is probably the absolute best place for him to rebuild his game.
Yeah, you're probably right.
If you think about it.
I just hope he does well and that he is able to control his demons and keep them under control and play hockey the way we know he can. That's all I want for him.
Yeah. And that makes the game, know, it sucks that he's no longer with us, but that makes the game as a whole a lot better. And if you're really a hockey fan, that's the, you know, that's what you wish for.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So no more putting it off. Let's go through all 13 goals here. So 6:53 in, Sebastian, pain in the aho, gets his 28th, a newly acquired Jake Guentzel on the primary assist, Jacob Slavin, who always seems to kill the Caps along with Aho, which is why I hate the Aho on the assist on that one. 1-0, and then 12:45, Sonny Milano, his 11th, which would turn out to be the first of, as Cheryl Ann just mentioned, 3 goals on the night. Connor McMichael on the secondary, or no, the only assist on this one, on the power play.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nice seeing Milano get power play time.
He was all over the ice that night. He was all over the ice.
Crazy. So 6.5 minutes later, Jacob Slavin, as I just mentioned, his 5th, at 19:12, not the McNugget minute goal we were hoping for, his 5th, Coke and Pepsi, Coke and Yemi,
yes.
And Nason on the assist on that one, making it 2-1. And it's always those back-breaking goals that do you in. I thought, okay, I don't know how I would. I'll be honest. I was not of a good mood to begin with, and I wasn't thinking that the Caps were going to come out of this well. Because I ironically, I thought the Caps wouldn't score a goal. That's how wrong I was.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway. Second period, Ovechkin on the power play, 13:59, ties it, his 24th. Strom and Miroshnichenko. Don't break up that pairing. Him and Ovi, don't break up that pairing. 13:59, or at least keep them together, at least on the power play, because that's working.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that ties it, 13:59, and then I knew this would happen. 41 seconds later, Milano gives the Caps the lead, but I knew they wouldn't hold it for long. Strom on that assist, his right. Milano's 12th. But I knew they wouldn't hold on to the lead for long for various reasons. Aho again at 15:23, so 43 minutes later, 43 seconds later, rather. Aho, his 29th, Guentzel on the assist. Tie game again, and then another. They couldn't at least head into the damn intermission tied.
Nope.
6 seconds. 6 seconds left in the damn period. They give up another goal. Oh, this was the pisser offer. This was okay. So look, those of you who listen regularly and know me, or at least follow my output on Facebook and Twitter and wherever, know that I have been one of Darcy Kemper's defenders, at least when the goal is not completely his fault. Because
this one
is not of that type. This one was not anywhere near of that type, but you know who you are. You look at the scoreboard, you look at the fact that it was him and net, and you don't bother to look at the damn replay and see how the play played out.
Yeah.
But this one, I will say, I finally have lost my patience.
Mm-hmm.
I have given him chance after chance to try and redeem himself. Now, granted, I said this in Twitter to a good friend, John Blackburn.
Mm-hmm.
When he posted, I forget what he posted, but I think he was kind of half jokingly suggesting some sort of a trade for Kemper, or that he was affected somehow. But I'm beginning to think that Kemper is going through whatever the hell it was, or something similar to it, that Anthony Mantha went through last year.
Yeah.
I'm seeing signs of him being tuned out. I'm seeing the classic signs of him not being all there mentally. And I'm not trying to insinuate, you know, a loss of sanity or anything, just something where his mind is elsewhere. Not that he's lost, not saying he's lost his grip on the reality and he needs a, you know, the boys from Bellevue to come down, put him in a straitjacket, not that kind of mental issue.
No, he's just distracted by something.
He's distracted by something. And it's no coincidence that he had his first child earlier at the beginning of the season. And I remember when I had my first and only child, I remember that birth, and not coincidentally. I don't think Darcy's child is, at least not that I've heard, but peek behind the curtain. I have a special needs child. She's on the autism spectrum. And we couldn't figure out for the first year or so of her life, beyond, it took a while. So for some, having your first child can be, it's a dramatic change to your life. And something that some people take a lot of time to get used to, especially if you have a job where you have to spend extended periods of time away from said child. If I'm not using that as an excuse, I'm not using that as a crutch, but then again, I mean, that's a hell of a thing to happen to somebody. That's a hell of a thing to have on your mind, weigh on your mind. And we may not know, I don't want to speculate, but that is, again, that is something major. That is a major change to your life. And, you know, if you're dealing with something that you would rather be kept private, that weighs on you. It really does. And Kemper is showing, whether it's that or something else, okay? It's obvious.
There's definitely a distraction there.
It's obvious to me and to others that there is something, pardon me, there is something going on. There's something there that is taking away his focus. And if you're a goalie, you have to be focused 100% of the time. You don't have a choice.
Right.
And it's obvious to me anyway, and a lot of other Caps fans, that he doesn't have his focus. He doesn't have what he needs to be at his best. And I've seen him play a lot better than this. We've all seen him play a lot better than this.
Yeah. But, I mean, he started off okay in the game. I mean, he wasn't horrible in the first period, but just by the end of the second period, I don't know, something had just gone haywire. He just was not sharp. He just didn't seem focused. It was just...
I don't know
what was going on.
So here's some more context. So this goal that was scored by Brady assisted by Martin Natchez, who defines water bug. So, all right. Well, I mean, there's only one way to go about it. Let's call up the replay. Okay. So Natchez has it. He's doing his thing on the half boards. Shea blasts it from the point. The puck is literally inside of Darcy Kemper's glove.
Mm-hmm.
It is literally in his glove.
All he has to do is squeeze it.
All he's got to do is shut the trapper or put it on the ice.
Yep.
He literally lost it. He lost it and let it go through his hand.
Yep. Kind of like the baseball player in the outfield, and it kind of goes right through the glove. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happened here. And that's what happens.
And the whole crowd. Oh, my God. You should have heard the crowd.
Well, I'm going to ask you that about that in a second, but this is what, again, this is what happens when you are not 100% focused. Obviously. I mean, okay. So we've seen the phrase that took his eye off the puck and lost it for a skater.
Mm-hmm.
That we've seen that a million times. You can't do that when you're a goalie. You have to have your eye on the puck.
Yeah.
There is no
catch the puck. Then
there's nothing else. You know, I don't want to sound like I don't want to use the oft, you know, the ad nauseum meme, but you have one job.
Yeah. Well, it's like when you see those baseball players, they try to throw the ball before they've actually caught it, right? Catch the ball, then throw the ball. Catch the puck, then put it down, give it to the ref, do whatever you do with it.
Or at least get behind it or cover it or something.
Yeah, something. Yeah.
He looks like he's just reaching out like, oh, okay, I'll put my hand out and maybe it'll
go in there. Maybe the reflex will close it. Oh, it's just like, oh God. Yeah,
it was obvious. He had completely lost focus. And, you know, if he is going through something, then yes, as a human being, I hope he gets whatever help he needs. But he needs to reach out if that's what's going on. But he either needs to figure it out or I don't know.
Yeah. Somebody needs to check in with him. I mean,
I really think so. That kind of loss of focus can be dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not just talking lose your job bad. We're talking
no,
do something stupid bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hurt yourself bad.
Yeah, you're not paying attention to that puck. It hit you in the wrong place. That's all she wrote.
Yeah. Well, okay. So to get to the bad side of things, what I heard was that he was booed off the ice after the period was over. Is that what happened?
Yeah. Poor thing.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I feel bad for him. I really do. I feel for him. Nobody deserves that. I don't care how bad you're playing. You did not boo your team off the ice. I'm sorry. You just don't do that. It pissed me off that people did that, honestly. Because, I mean, it doesn't matter. Nobody deserves that. In my opinion, nobody deserves that.
Well, to play devil's advocate, I can get why that. I mean, it was a really tense back and forth game. You're in the moment.
I get it. I get that. And I understand that. And I understand where they were coming from. I don't agree with it. I mean, personally, I just felt bad for him that he was just having such a rotten game. You know, it's like, so, but I mean, people at that point were like, all the group around, well, where I was sitting, it wasn't so bad. Most of us up here had the same attitude I did. Oh my God, he's just really struggling tonight. He's having a hard time, you know, but yeah, I definitely heard boos.
Yeah. Okay. So
most of us were like, but there were also people saying, yeah, maybe, you know, and then we were thinking, well, maybe they'll put Lindgren in for the third period, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that's what happened. Lindgren came in. But where I was sitting, for the most part, it was, oh my God, he's just really having a bad game. You know, what's going on? You know, they weren't really getting, I mean, they were frustrated because we were, you know, it was so back and forth. But yeah, I didn't hear any booing from where I was sitting, but I did hear booing around the arena. So yeah, I get why they were doing it. I understand their frustration, but I just simply don't agree with that.
I just wanted to confirm from somebody who was actually there what happened.
Because the thing is, he knows he's having a bad game. He doesn't need to be. Have it tossed in his face by you booing at him. I'm sorry. This is the one. You get me on my soapbox about this. He knows he's having a bad game. Okay. You don't need to throw it in his face by booing at him. Sorry. I don't. I get the emotion. I get that you're frustrated, but I don't care. You know, it's one thing to boo the refs. I do it in jest, but if someone's having a bad game, they already know they're having a bad game. they don't need it thrown in their face. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I will get off my soapbox now, but yeah, but I did definitely hear booze. It was not pretty. It was not good.
Yeah. I figured. So Coach Carberry made the fateful decision to pull him and replace him with in the last 20 minutes with Charlie Lindgren. And if you thought the first 40 minutes that I described was insane, then hold on to whatever you're holding on to, you on the other side of the earbuds,
I'm telling you, people,
what have you.
Strap yourselves in.
Because, it was one thing to watch it. I bet it was another thing entirely if you were there. But this game wore a lot of people out just watching it. So this game,
I'm getting brain just talking about it again.
This game, not unlike this podcast, builds up with intensity and excitement. God. So here we go in the third period, a total of 6 goals scored. No, 5 goals scored. 5 actual goals scored. That count. Okay. And all right, so 3:45, Caps get a power play. John Carlson gets his 6th. Nice little shot. LaPierre and Ovechkin, the assists on that one.
That was a pretty
one. And then this is the confused goal where...
Yeah.
Pardon me, the next one. Caps take the lead. And again, I knew they weren't going to hold on to it for very long, but they eventually credit it to Milano.
It was Milano's goal.
Who touched it? Sandin Carlson and Strome.
Carlson never touched it. He just happened to be in front of the net, but he never touched it.
Well, let's go ahead and...
they showed the replay a couple of times at the arena. And
so,
he never touched it.
All right. So Sandin over to Milano.
But it happened
okay.
So fast.
Okay. So the reason for the confusion was that after Milano shot it, there was kind of a delay.
Mm-hmm.
And the goalie, I don't know what he was doing, but I don't know if he had it or if he lost it or what happened. But so Milano shoots through a screen and. Oh, okay. So I see what happens now. Okay. So it actually went off of a Hurricanes player.
Right.
Martin Natchez is actually the one who actually knocks it in, but it never touched Carlson or Pacioretty.
Yeah, he just happened to be in the right. They just happened to be in the vicinity.
Yeah, they happened to be the two closest to the puck at the time. Okay, Carlson took kind of a swing at it, but never touched it.
Right.
Teravainen is kind of looking at it like, hey, what are you doing? Quit crapping on my shoe. And then Natchez is kind of, he's got his fists in the air. Like, I don't know what he's trying to do with it, but it hits off him and then goes into the net. But it was Milano who propelled it towards the net. So he gets the credit. Hopefully that clears that confusion up. So the Caps again have the lead, but again, not for long. Mm-hmm. All right. 1 minute, 16 seconds later, 9:35, Caps go on the penalty kill again. Seth Jarvis gets his 27th. Not much Charlie could do about this one. Gensel and Svechnikov on the assist on that one. Your man down, you're going to leave space open. That's exactly what happened here. And this was the next goal. This was the goal I thought, okay, you got this one.
Now,
friggin' hang on to the lead.
Right.
Do what you got to do to hang on the friggin' lead.
Right.
Connor McMichael, his 16th. I think this one deserves a replay, too. Miroshnichenko on the secondary assist, Van Riemsdyk on the primary. So let's fire up the video for this one. Okay, so McMichael starts to play on the half wall. It goes into the air. Ovechkin collects it, hands it back off to Miroshnichenko. I'm not sure how. Oh, okay, so McMichael ends up in front of the crease. Him and Miroshnichenko were setting up a two-man screen in front of Kachetkov. Mm-hmm. And McMichael actually he ends up kind of doing a back tap in from Van Riemsdyk's point shot.
Yeah.
So your classic garbage goal, but yeah, I mean, look, this is what happens when you go to the net.
Yeah.
Good things happening when you go to the net. But it wasn't a good thing for very long. Just about 4 minutes later, Aho gets his 30th, completes the hat trick. Natchez and Brent Burns on the assists at 17:39. We go to the overtime. Ain't not a whole lot happening there. Do they? Okay, two shots each in the overtime.
Kuzi was denied.
And then they go to the dreaded shootout. And yeah, as you said, Kuznetsov, we're wondering if he would bring out his bag of tricks. And
he did, and he was denied.
Very, very slowly.
I videoed all of them.
I had time to
every single one.
Well, I think I had time to go to the kitchen and get something out of the fridge, put it in the microwave, and heat it up.
Yeah,
and
you
get the idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, as C4 just said, he was denied. And then I can't remember how many rounds we went. It was an insane amount of rounds, like what, five, six rounds at least.
Hold on. I will give me a second. I gotta go back to the chat. So many. Okay. So we had, all right. So it was Kuzi. Then it was, who was that? Milano. Milano, I think Milano whiffed, and then I don't know who from Carolina. Then it was McMichael, he whiffed. That was the guy from Carolina. Then it was Ovi, he missed. Then it was a guy from Carolina. Then it was Carlson, he missed. Then it was another guy from Carolina. And then it was Strome, and he got it in. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 players, so 5 rounds.
Okay, so five rounds at least. Five full rounds because Caps were shooting second.
Correct.
And Strome ends it with his shot.
He elevated it. What's his name went down? Strome elevated it right over the shoulder. Ah, oh, if Ovi had elevated like that, Ovi would have won it. But Ovi didn't elevate the puck.
So
okay. I'm not complaining.
It's
we won.
Not the kind of game you want to see all the time. At least if you're a purist like me.
No, but it was sure as hell fun to watch.
But it was fun to watch. It was crazy. You need a little insanity in your life, but maybe not that much. So great win. Great win by the Caps in this one to come away with 2 points, 2 full points.
I actually had this game down as either 1 point or a loss, to be honest.
So did I. So I was not liking, after that poor showing against the Maple Leafs, I thought this game was going to be a loss.
And after the poor showing we had against them in January, I was just like, oh, we got that spanked by him in January. So...
I don't want to spend too much more time on this game because we got one more game left. But
well, this is the game where one more thing. This is the game where we had not only one, but 2 coaches challenges we won.
Oh, right.
We won 2.
I think it was actually 3.
Was it 3? No. Because it was the goaltender interference and it was offside. There was only 2. Pretty sure it was only 2. Unless it was what I missed because I wasn't paying attention for some reason, but
well, there was 2. There was 2 that they scored on that were challenged. And there was another, there was another that they scored. No, no, I got it backwards. There was two that they scored that were challenged successfully. And there was one that we scored that was challenged for something else that counted.
Yes. I forgot Carolina challenged one.
So it was actually three that they won.
Yes.
Three challenges.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, they're making up for all the ones that they denied us.
Well, they're making for all the ones, all the seven or eight ones that they denied us earlier in the year. And, and for the Wilson thing, but something else happened in this game that, okay. This is what I hate about social media. Social media can be used for great things and it can also be used for poor things. Not very long after Wilson did what he did, the keyboard warriors got on Twitter, et cetera, and started campaigning for Wilson to be suspended.
Oh my God.
And I can't help but think that had something to do with it.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
As pitiful as that sounds, as pitiful as you know, being an influencer actually is. We don't try to be that here. We try to be, just simply people watching hockey games. But there are people who get on social media and think they're going to bring their fake outrage and try to change the world that way. Just because they're pretending to be mad. Oh, look. And they're doing it because, oh, look at me. I have an opinion. My life matters. That's the only reason they're doing it. But so anyway, if you people can do that, then I can do this. I can complain about something that happened in this game. And I did. I took to Twitter and replayed a video of what happened here. I forget when exactly it was, but there was a scrum in front of the net that involved John Carlson and Kochetkov, the Carolina goalie, kicked Carlson.
Yes, I remember that.
Kicked him, knocked him down, could have cut him.
Yeah.
But kicked him. It is written in the frickin' rule book that kicking another player can get you tossed.
Yeah. Oh, you should. Yeah, because the crowd right around there just started hollering. I had moved on. I was looking at something else, and I heard the crowd. I looked down there, and I saw the scrum, and I was like, "Oh shit, what happened?" That's one of the disadvantages to being at the game. You don't have the replay of everything, so I didn't really. I missed that because I was watching something else on the ice. But yeah, all of a sudden I heard the crowd get really loud and angry. I was like, what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you keyboard warriors out there can complain about every little thing.
Let's complain about that.
Then here's something real to complain about. This guy really could have injured somebody. But unfortunately, the league's not going to do a damn thing about it. Not even going to look at it because they would have said something by now because it's the next friggin' game.
Right.
I mean, we have seen people injured by skate blades. People who have been cut by skate blades in a game and had their lives threatened. We're talking dangerous to a life-threatening precedent here. Yeah. So you people at Department of Safety, you're not doing your fucking job.
Yeah, don't get me. And that's
you are not
for another
doing,
day because we could go on all night about.
We could, but when it comes down to it, you people are not doing your damn job. Period.
No, if you can give Wilson six games for swinging a stick, you can take a look at
you
what
give
this
guy at least one game for what he attempted to. I don't care if he didn't connect or not. Okay. The fact that he tried it.
Yeah. Exactly. And then there was an incident in today's game where somebody knocked Ove Kubel down hard enough that his helmet came off.
Well, I missed that.
But we'll get into that. Yeah. It was in the third period. Knocked Obey Kubel Bell down. His helmet came off. Nothing called.
Well, so we inadvertently, but kind of by accident and also on purpose, but kind of also had to made this the focus game. But as good as this game was, I think obviously today's game was a lot better. They got back to, I think, their winning game plan where, well, for some part of it anyway, where they kept the scoring chances to as much of a minimum as they could. Although for good part of the game, it wasn't looking too good.
No, they did spend an awful lot of time in their own zone.
Right. So quick review of the scoring summary. No goals until the third period. John Carlson, they had a spillover penalty. John Carlson, nice blast from the low point. Pacioretty and TJ Oshie, who was celebrating 1,001 games. Nice little ceremony for him. But 121 was the
1.21
gigawatts. Sorry.
That's okay. We're good.
So, yeah. So that as it turned out, was the game winner. Caps shut them down. And then, so as funny as the LaPierre goal was, and as confusing as the Sonny Milano goal was in the later game, here was one that was both.
Yeah.
Alex Ovechkin
McMichael at first
gets the first of two goals. And yes, at first they credit it to
McMichael.
But upon further review, I don't know how else to describe it except look at the replay. But basically, Ovechkin and McMichael shot the puck towards the net together. I can't describe it any other way.
Yeah.
All I can say is watch the replay.
Right.
You'll see what I mean. But this was...
It was bizarre.
Yeah, and Mrs. Blueliner was like, wait a minute, why did they change it? And I told her, and I showed her the replay. So whose goal is it? I was like, well, just sarcastically, I was like, well, maybe they can give them half a goal. So,
right.
So if I find some poison in my dinner tonight and you don't see hear from me.
Doesn't Toronto ultimately review that stuff or is it up to us?
I think they do. I think they do.
Yeah, because they came on the PA and said, there's been a change in the scoring of the Capitals' second goal.
Yeah.
It was scored by Alex Ovechkin. And of course, the whole stadium starts screaming, Ovi.
Then they played his music. Yeah. And then he scores another one.
I guess they determined he touched it last. I don't know.
Yeah. But they literally both propelled it towards the net.
That's wild.
That's his 25th. And then he scores another one at exactly 12 minutes for his 26th of the year. Strome and Oshie again on the assist. You knew Oshie was going to be the number one star unless he, crapped the bed or something in this game, which actually he didn't.
He was playing pretty well tonight. He was pretty much all, he was being a little, he had a couple of opportunities where he could have like hit a guy, but he kind of held back a little, and I kind of don't blame him with back issues. You don't want to be.
Yeah.
But other than that, he was playing well. I mean, he really was. He was in on the puck battles. He was winning puck battles. He was, you know, playing the puck well. So, I mean, he played well today, all things, you know. So I'm pleased with his performance today. Like I said, he wasn't playing as physical as he usually does. And I really don't blame him.
Speaking of physicality, 29 hits were credited to the Caps. Nick Dowd got credited with a team high 5.
Oh yeah, he was.
And Obey Kubel with 4. Okay, so yeah, that makes sense. I'm wrong. Martin Ferravari got the team lead with 9.
He was hard.
So yeah, he has solidified himself as Dmitry Orlov 2.0. If only he would shoot the puck once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's got a hell of a shot.
But this game, it was not looking good at, well, okay, what, particularly the second period.
It was terrible.
The first two minutes, I will say they had just about all of the chances. They looked pretty good. They were cycling. They were holding the puck. And then it went all to hell after that.
Yeah. Thank God our defense stepped up. They stepped up. They really did. They kept them to the outside. Winnipeg did not, at least from my view, have a lot of high danger front of the net shots. Most of the shots Charlie faced were from the outside. Easy stop shots.
So even with all of that, they only managed to get 11 shots on goal.
Right.
That period. Only. So
our three.
So the apparently the team mentality for that period was to bend like you're in a yoga class.
Yeah,
but don't break. That was a little. It was a little scary to watch. But like you said, for the most part, they did limit the high danger chances, which is what they're supposed to do. So, yeah. Good job on them. Only 19 shots on goal for the boys in red. A little disappointing, but considering that three of them resulted in goals. And how fitting that they shut them back out 3-0 after the 3-0 loss 2 weeks ago.
So, right.
I thought that was exactly. Funny.
Exactly. Well, here's the funny thing. So I was there with my friend Libby and her dad, Michael. And Michael's like, I gotta go to the bathroom. He says, now I'm gonna get up and go and they're gonna score. Sure enough, he got up and went. That's when Carlson.
And that's when
And I was, and I had gotten food between the periods. I got chicken and fries. I was eating my fries and my chicken tenders when Ovi scored the first goal. And I'm like, okay, I'm not putting this down. So I kept that tray on my lap for the rest of the game. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to keep eating. I'm not really hungry, but I'm going to keep eating these fries. So yeah, that shows you how superstitious hockey fans are sometimes.
Yeah, I get that. I wore my Oshie jersey for the pregame ceremony and promptly took it off after. But I had it close by.
I got my Strome jersey on. I wore my Strome jersey today. I picked it up. They were on sale at the team store. Well, I picked it up last week, but.
So at the end of this game, I usually post a little, I usually post a little meme after wins, to kind of summarize things. And this time around, since it was a recording day, I asked for anybody who had any, takes to, or talking points for the show to post them. We got two. First one was from Wayne Burnett. And I quote, we have a terrible time getting boxed out to corner, caps nut, emphasis on going to the net, rebounds are golden. So what Wayne is saying there is, look, do what you got to do to force yourself towards the net, go to the net, even if you got to fight through checks, fight through physicality, and just send the puck to the net.
Because, and you have somebody there to catch the rebound.
Right, exactly. And they don't always do that. And yeah, spot on, Wayne. Good one there. I like that one.
Yep.
Exactly. They need to do more of that. They do that, just not enough.
Right. Yeah, we did get boxed in a lot in the corners.
So
when we were down in the zone.
And the other one was from Stacy Cleek, who said, I'm not sure if talking point that hasn't been talked about enough already, but these kids are keeping us in this. Been talked about, but bears worth repeating. It does. Going on, quote, we have a good blend of youth and vet right now, and it's working. Cue Lavi Voodoo Doll. This is exactly what we needed, keeping in the playoffs race for OV while giving the kids valuable playoff time or playing time. It's the best we could ask for this season. Yes.
And exactly.
Again, yes. There. So right now, as we stand, there are a dozen games left in the season. Again,
I say we should be able to get points, not necessarily win, but get points in at least six or seven of those games, if not more.
It's very likely
points in all 12.
It's very likely
that points in at least six
that they'll do. But bigger picture here, barring a total and complete collapse by this team, and I mean they win one or two out of these last dozen or so only, which I don't see them doing. I don't see that happening.
No.
But even barring that, the intent, the purpose of this season was to, one, somehow figure out and or invigorate the vets, but figure out what they were doing, see who wanted to stay, see who was still on board, the ones who couldn't be onboarded, figure out what to do with them, get the younger guys into the lineup, break them in, get them experience, get them to a point where they're learning and contributing and feel like they're part of the team. And look where they are right now. They are fighting for a playoff spot. And you
I
know
feel
what
like
I
a
say?
Bobblehead. I'm over here nodding my head.
And you know what I say to all that? I say mission accomplished.
100%.
Even
absolutely.
If they don't make the damn playoffs this year, mission friggin' accomplished. Because they are, even though they're, looking at a top 15 draft choice again, I get that if they miss. But I would take this team over last year's team any day. Last year's team was directionless. They never played like a team. They didn't gel. They looked tired. They looked confused half the time. There was no energy, no fire, no nothing most games. You're not seeing that from this group.
I told you guys at the beginning of the season, strap in. This is going to be fun.
And it is. And it has been. You can't argue that this has not been a team to watch. And there's some eye rolling going on, and there's some poo pooing going on. There's some all kinds of negativity from the landed hockey media outside of the DMV. But you know what? Who the F cares? If we're bucking the trend and we're being a pain in the ass to play against, good. That's what we're supposed to be.
That's what we need to be. Yes. I want to be the spoiler team this year. I don't care if we make the playoffs or not. I want to be the spoiler team this year. I want to be the team that screws up somebody else's playoff chances. I want to be the team that screws up Detroit's chance. I want to be the team that attempts to screw Philly's chances. I want to be that team. Whether we make the playoffs or not, that's the team I want to be. And I think that's the team we can be if we keep playing the way we're playing.
And
that's the
again,
team.
Go ahead.
That's the team I want. That's the team I'm watching right now. The team I'm watching right now is the team that can screw up people's chances.
Yeah.
Whether we will or not, it's a different story, but we can do it.
The way they've been playing, yes, they have managed to elevate their game enough that they can hang with the Winnipegs, the Carolinas, et cetera. I'm pretty sure
they
Al
have
Koken,
learned to play against those good teams.
Yes.
They have learned not, and the Carolina game to me proved it more than any other game this season. They learned that, okay, yeah, it's back and forth, but we're going to fight to the bitter end, and even if we tie this game, we are going to fight to the bitter end of this game. And they did, and they won, and look what happened. Same with Winnipeg. Winnipeg kept it. I mean, we were pretty much pinned in our zone the entire second period today, but we kept them out of the net,
Yeah.
We kept them out of the net. And we finally are starting to click and learn, hey, look, we can really do this. The team is starting to believe. You can see it in their faces. You can see it in their play. You can see it in the coaches. The team is starting to believe, hey, We are that good. We're not the best team in the league right now, but we are that good.
But they're playing like it.
Right.
They're playing like they're good. Figuring out that they can be that team.
Exactly.
And I'm going
to
say,
finally starting to figure that. And the way these young guys are playing, and the way even Ovi has stepped up, finally stepped up. Oshie has stepped. Van Riemsdyk's playing better. Jensen was all over the place today. He's playing better. He's, you know, the way these veterans are now finally starting to step up and keep up with these younger guys and realizing, hey, we understand you're now our future. We're going to do everything we can to support you because that's what they're supposed to do. We right. can be that team. We can be that team that plays spoiler. We can be that team that sneaks into the playoffs. We can be that team that wouldn't it be funny if, you know, and they're starting to figure it out.
And I'm not here to minimize anybody's contributions. Certainly not. You know, we haven't talked about him a whole lot. And yes, if not for him, season could have gone in another direction entirely. But Charlie Lindgren, I've got four words for you.
Yes.
Take a maintenance day. Yeah. Rest. Because you're going to need it. You're going to need it, pal.
Yeah. You're going to need it.
Because ain't no softies the rest of the schedule. Look, before I get too far, before we get too far into that, I'm going to say something here to finish the point that I said on the Sacrooms podcast the last time it aired. Just to give you an idea where this team is at. This team, as far as the playoffs, they are playing with house money. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you're not sure what that means, it means it doesn't matter what happens to them, whether they make the playoffs or not. You know why? Because nobody, not even, I'll admit, I didn't even count this team as a playoff team, but nobody anywhere had this team as a playoff team. We're 12 games left in the season. And as of right now, they're sitting in wild card spot number 2.
With the possibility to hit wild card space number 1.
Well, now when I was a kid, number There's 1, number 2 wasn't anything you wanted to be, but even so.
Right.
Oh.
But all things, yeah. I'm telling you, this team is finally starting to believe, you know what? We can do this. We can do it. You see it in their faces. You see it in their play. Even not so much in the Toronto game, but I mean, you're starting to see it more consistently, you know.
Right.
In the Carolina game, they did not give up. They did not give up. Now, that doesn't mean they're not still making mistakes and there's not, you know, that they...
Oh, there's stuff to work on, games, for sure.
But you can see they're starting to click. They're starting to believe. They're starting to realize, hey, this is a possible. And I'm loving it.
Oh, yeah. You've got to be
absolutely loving it.
You've got to be loving life if you're a Caps fan, because this was nowhere on the radar.
No, and I totally agree with you. Lindgren needs to take the day off tomorrow. Take the day.
He's got to.
Sit in your pajamas and fuzzy socks all day long.
I don't want to see him in the morning skate. I don't want to see him anywhere near the rink. Take the day off.
You have earned it, Mr. Lindgren. You have earned it. So.
All right. So let's. Especially after this game where. He shut down all 20 plus shots from 27 shots from a top 5, top 6 NHL team that has dangerous snipers like Kyle Clifford.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. All right. So let's wrap it up. Let's start to wrap it up here a bit. Gone quite a bit long. Thanks for hanging in. You've been hanging in with us, on the other side of the earbuds, the speakers, what have you. Now, unfortunately for the next week or at least the next week, there will be no, Sports on the Hill podcast, aired. Robbie is deciding to take an extended spring break. So I believe it's this coming Monday, and most likely next as well.
I believe it's the next 2 weeks, he said.
Has decided to take off. So unfortunately, no podcast then either. So you will not be seeing any of us the Monday nights. He is taking a well-deserved family vacation. We're going to go ahead, and with that in mind, we're going to go ahead and do a preview of coming attractions for the next couple of weeks. So the next game, as C4 mentioned earlier, is coming Tuesday night, 7 o'clock puck drop. It ends the 4-game homestand at Cap One against the Detroit Red Wings. This one is the classic 4-pointer. If ever there was a game they needed to win, it was this one. Put some distance between these guys. This one's going to be a battle, I can tell right now, and they need a good start. This is the game where they cannot start badly. Cannot.
Yeah. We cannot do another 8-3 spanking like we did in the first one.
Losing focus in the first 15 seconds and giving up a goal.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So if we stick to the game, what are you laughing at, Matt?
I'm sorry. The game just ended. I still have Monumental on. This kills me every time. The Bruce Boudreau Hadid commercial.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen that one yet.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I'll have to look it up on YouTube. I'll find it.
It's crazy.
That's the carpet cleaning guy, right?
It is. Yeah. The carpet cleaning service.
I'll look it up on YouTube later.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah, I'll find it.
I'm sorry. I didn't. that slays me every time.
But if we play like we did the last two games, we will be fine. I'm not sure what Detroit has done the last several games.
Well, Detroit had one of their best players, Dylan Larkin, missing due to injury their last couple, 3 weeks. So they have just come out of an extended losing streak, which is why the Caps were able to catch them.
Yeah, they lost to Pittsburgh on the 17th. They beat the Blue Jacks. It's 4-3. They beat the Islanders. 6-3.
Yeah.
And then they lost.
They're still kind of wobbly right now. So this is kind of a good time to catch them. But then again, definitely not a team to take lightly.
Do not let this be a trap game, guys.
In no way this should be a trap game. This is probably
one of the biggest games of the season so far.
Foot on the gas for 60 plus minutes game is what it ought to be, because they need to put some distance now that they've got that spot.
Yep. Come out running and keep going.
Yeah. So game after that, they go on the road up to Scotiabank Center against the Leafs. 7 o'clock puck drop there on Thursday. And to finish out the week, I don't know how that's going to turn out. And then they come back home for a game against the Boston Bruins, 7 o'clock puck drop back at Cap One.
That's another one they're going to have to keep focused, I think. They can beat Boston. We have beaten Boston.
I think they can play. Already. They can play with Boston. I think they can keep up with Boston.
We beat them 3-0 back in February. So
then again, they might have that in the back of their mind. So they might want to. Yeah. Be careful about that. But I think they can hang with Boston.
Oh, I'm sure. Come on. They beat Vancouver, and they're one of the best teams. They're the best team in the league right now.
True, but Vancouver doesn't have a whole lot of experience. They're playing over and above their heads. I think, unfortunately, they're a first-round knockout candidate.
Yeah, you're probably right. But Boston's But Boston is Boston's one of those teams that we need to, again, keep the focus on, keep the pressure on, and we'll be fine. So I think Toronto, I know we can beat Toronto. I don't know what happened in that game. I don't know. I don't know if
Boston it was a matter of literally 2 minutes where they let the game get away from them, and they couldn't come back. because as
but you know, but here's the thing, this team is remarkably resilient.
Yes.
So they're going to have that in their mind and they're going to come out, they're going to want revenge. So
yes.
I think win or lose, that Toronto game is going to be a much better game than the one
I'm looking for. This is one of those games where they might come out on the losing end, but I'm just looking for a good effort.
Yeah. That might be a 1-point game.
And
Detroit
real quick,
had better be a 2-point game.
Well,
Boston.
Yeah. Boston's probably going to be more of a toss up.
Yeah.
Real quick, the week after that, first week of April, they've got Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and Carolina in that order. Those last two games are going to be a back-to-back.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
So that's going to be that's going to be a little iffy there. I think
Pittsburgh,
they're going down the tubes. So I think that can be a throwaway game.
Yeah,
I can't believe I'm saying
that. You still can't play them lightly because Pittsburgh, for whatever reason, even when they're playing like shit, has our number. So I can't take it lightly. I can't do it as a throwaway game because it's Pittsburgh and
they're behind them. They're behind us in the standings anyway. It's not as if they're going to catch anybody.
No.
They blew a 4-goal lead for crying out loud today's game.
I know. It's like
horrible. What? No.
Come on, Colorado.
I get that it's against freaking Colorado. But
I think it was 4 goals in the third period, wasn't it? I have to look at the game again.
Four unanswered goals in the third.
Yeah.
They had
I was following it on the app.
Nothing lead in the third. And gave up 4 to force overtime. Yeah, that team's going down the tubes.
Yeah.
And then Carolina again the Friday after.
That's another toss-up game.
That's going to be interesting.
That's going to be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, after that, there's 2 weeks left in the season. Still more important games.
I'll be at the Pittsburgh game, actually. I'll be at Detroit, and I'll be at Pittsburgh.
Okay, very cool. So, yeah, those will definitely be – so I think these 2 weeks – I don't know if anybody had them still in the hunt, but
Marcus is going to the first Boston game.
If the Caps can stay at around 500, then, you know, they'll still be hanging around. Obviously you want them to do better, but I think they'll still be in the picture as long as they can stay around 500 percentage wise. So,
yeah, I think out of the 12 remaining games, like I said, I think we should get points in at least 6 of them. Potentially, there's actually, Ottawa for sure, Pittsburgh for sure, assuming we don't take either of them lightly. Carolina's going to be the toss. Carolina and Boston are toss-ups. Same as Buffalo. Philadelphia, we should get 2 points. I'm kind of putting Tampa down as a loss, but it's probably going to be close.
That's going to be another one. Yeah, that's going to be another one where you want a good effort.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and
I want good effort in all of them.
maybe you eke out a loser point. So either way.
Yeah. But we should get points in at least 6 or 7 of them.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we've gone on the better part of 90 plus minutes here, so I'm sure you got your money's worth, even though you didn't pay a dime for this thing. So we're going to stop it here, and if you did enjoy us, contact myself at either the Facebook page or at GLHALLOWED@yahoo.com. It's my personal email. If you are interested in either being part of the show or a donation, which is the best nation there is. And as I said, no mermaid next week, no sports on the hill as well. So, but C4 and I will be back to recap those 3 games that we mentioned. And hopefully we'll be talking maybe catching the Philadelphia Flyers for the coveted 3 spot in the Metro Division. Who knows?
The way this team is playing, And if they keep it up and if they keep the belief, it is a possibility. Is it a probability? Probability and possibility are two different things.
It's possible.
But it is a possibility.
It's definitely possible. So for C4, Cheryl Ann Forster and myself, the Blue Liner on Point, wrap it up here for this episode, and going to remind you that, well, I attended a wedding where two slices of bread got married. Ceremony itself was amazing until somebody decided to toast the bride and the groom.
Chirp, 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 chirp. That's my poor imitation of a cricket.
Only way I'm getting a laugh at that one. I get it. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Let's go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.